Views. I'm your host, Renee Krams. Today on the show, we will be talking to Dr. Chris Bergwald about how our work and our faith work together, especially for our Labor Day weekend. But first, we are going to talk to Dr. Bergwald's alter ego, Dr. B.
Yes,
with some biblical bites with Dr. B. Can I call that your alter ego?
How am I alter than the other?
I don't.
So
maybe not,
folks. when you listen to the conversation Renee and I will have in a little bit about faith and work, somehow that's different than what I'm talking about now.
Yeah, you're funnier during biblical bites. Maybe. Oh. I don't know.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm. It's the Dr. B.
Anyway, so speaking of biblical bites with Dr. B, today, Renee, we're going to look at the psalm.
Ooh.
Or as some like to say, the psalm.
See what
the
I mean?
The psalm.
Dr. B.
Psalm 90. So the psalm for this weekend, because a couple of reasons. First of all, there's something that I want to explain. I'm not just picking it because, well, let's do the psalm. However, when's the last time you heard a homily on a psalm?
Not very often.
I don't know.
I can't think of one, so it didn't stand out enough.
In my 47 years, and you're way older than me, I've rarely heard a homily and a psalm, because there's so much, and the others, and the psalm is usually songs, so we just, roll with it, Renee.
Yeah, and you're just blown right by that, aren't you?
So, Psalm 95, I'm just going to quickly read it, and then focus in on one part. So the refrain is, if today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. And Psalm 95, or the portion of Psalm 95 that we heard at Mass, or sung at Mass today, goes like this. Come, let us sing joyfully to the Lord. Let us acclaim the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us joyfully sing psalms to him, or psalms. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord who made us. For he is our God, and we are his people. And we are the people he shepherds, the flock he guides. Oh, that today you would hear his voice. Harden not your hearts as at Meribah, as in the day of Massa in the desert, where your fathers tempted me. They tested me, though they had seen my works. So how does that psalm sound to you, Renee? What's going on?
To be honest, I spaced out for a second.
Word of God. Well, I'm sorry. I was not paying attention.
You hit Father... Or Pope Francis's bobblehead, and I was out for a second.
Aren't you supposed to sing them?
Yes.
Why was it not in song?
Oh, that would help.
Oh, folks, no. Guys, I don't want to do it to our listeners. Okay, focus, people. So the point of this psalm is rejoice in the Lord, but that third stanza, oh, that today you would hear his voice. Harden not your hearts as at Meribah, as in the day of Massa in the desert, where your fathers tempted me. They tested me, though they'd seen all my works. So, interestingly, Psalm 95 is the psalm that when priests pray Liturgy of the Hours, they start with this psalm.
Oh, I had no idea.
So, the first thing, priests, sisters, deacons, lay people, whoever prays the Liturgy of the Hours, there's something called the Invitatory Psalm, which is the first psalm prayed every day, and Psalm 95 is the one that we pray. So, because it's talking about let us sing to the Lord, let us bow down and worship, let us hear his voice.
Okay.
Unlike our ancestors, unlike your fathers, harden not your heart as at Meribah, as in the day of Massa in the desert. So Meribah and Massa, this goes back to Exodus chapter 17. God, through Moses, has brought the Israelites out of centuries of slavery in Egypt. And they come out, and before long, what do? They complain because they're hungry. Whoa. That's Exodus 16. Mm-hmm. What does God do? Do you remember?
He gives them food.
He gives them manna from heaven, right?
Manna and quail.
Very good. So they're fed. And then we move on to Saul or to Exodus 17. And then what happens?
I bet they're complaining again.
We're thirsty.
You just can't please these people, can you?
You know, God's people, he gives them thing after thing after thing. And time again, what do? They forget about what they got yesterday, and they're just complaining about today.
Sounds really familiar.
I was just going to say, notice that I said God's people and not Israelites, because that's the Israelites, and it's me and you today. So Exodus 17 is where, they're thirsty. So the Lord commands Moses to strike the rock. This is verse 6. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water shall come out of it, and the people may drink. So, I mean, the Lord, he's so patient, because if it were me, like, Never mind. Moses, let's find somebody else. Let's find other people. That's not what God does. He does it. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And then verse 7, and he called the name of the place Massa and Meribah because the fault-finding of the sons of Israel, and because they put the Lord to the test by saying, is the Lord among us or not? So is the Lord among us or not, a.k.a. where's God?
He's deserted us.
He's deserted us. So Massa means testing. Meribah means contention. So Israel, it seems Moses, it seems, get names the place. He called the name of the place Massa and Meribah, testing and contention.
Okay.
Because of the fault finding of the sons of Israel, and because they put the Lord to the test by saying, is the Lord among us or not? So yeah, as so often is the case, you read the Old Testament at first, you can be, boy, those knuckleheads. I mean, what does God have to do so that he's still with them? Is the Lord among us or not? Well, duh, slavery, manna, quail, now water. Would you stop your belly aching? And then you, if you take a moment of self-reflection, you're like, oh.
Wait.
What about, literally for me, just the other day, I was kind of grumbling, and in all honesty, Renee, I was walking just by around our campus, and I was just mindful. It was from God. Just the reality popped into his head. Basically, what he said to me was, "I died on the cross for you, Chris. What do I need to do to show you how much I love you?" Mm-hmm. And he says the same things to the Israelites in the past.
Great stuff, Dr. B, as always. All right, we're going to talk to the other Dr.
Bergwald. Sounds good.
All right. All right, on the show today, we are joined by Dr. Chris Bergwald.
Again.
I
was just here.
Yes.
Yes.
You know, it's actually good when you're here the whole time, because I don't have to think of someone else's name.
There we go.
Yeah. All right, so today we're going to talk about, it is Labor Day weekend. We're going to talk about our work, our faith, how that all works together. What's the teaching of the church about the dignity of human work? So, Dr. Chris, will you please give me the church teaching on the dignity
right,
of human
so,
work?
So here's the, I think that right out of the gate, I think the important thing for us to remember, maybe here for the first time, I'm going to start this way. Questions, Renee. Ready? Are you ready?
Yes.
When you think, or maybe not you yourself, but let's just think of the typical American. When we think of going to work, what, how does that oftentimes feel?
All I can think of is Monday.
Right.
Monday. Oh, I gotta go to work.
Not you personally,
no,
because
not
you
me
love
personally.
Working here at the diocese with
people. I'm thinking about past jobs.
Right.
How about that?
Yes, sure. Yeah. Yeah. So work is drudgery. It's toil. It's mm-hmm. hard. Many of us, you know, we live for retirement in a sense.
Right.
You know, we don't, some of us are blessed to have jobs that we really enjoy. Mm-hmm. And yet even then it's sort of like, well, I just do this to pay the bills and I do like it. At least I like it and so on, but I'm really looking forward to retirement when
right.
I can go fishing all day or read books or travel mm-hmm. or whatever. What do you want to do in retirement?
I don't know yet.
Really?
I really don't.
You know,
I mean, I love to garden
up for you,
and stuff.
You know, you're not that far
Shush
away.
Shush now. I am a good 20 years from that.
So, in fact, now the work is toil and drudgery, but the reason for that is not because it's the nature of work itself, it's because of the fall.
Ah.
And I don't mean...
I fell down.
I mean, of original sin, I mean, Adam and Eve, the original sin when they broke relationship with God. And the result of that, what the Lord said, if you read Genesis chapter 3, that now the earth won't produce its fruit without labor, mm-hmm. without effort. However, if you go back a little bit earlier... Genesis 2, the second creation account, God creates Adam. He puts them in the garden and tells Adam, this is before the fall. Adam is in the garden to do what? Well, he's to lounge on his back with the grapes. No. He's to till the garden and keep it.
Right.
Till it and keep it. So what, Chris? Work is part of what it means to be human. Work is part of God's plan for us. Work has dignity. Maybe we do look forward to the time when we retire and so on. That's great. But today, what we're doing now, God is inviting us to cooperate with him in the work of subduing the earth, for his glory. Till the garden and keep it. So this is from the Catechism, paragraph 378. The sign of man's familiarity with God is that God places him in the garden. There, so in the garden, he lives to till it and keep it. Work is not yet a burden, but rather the collaboration of man and woman with God in perfecting the visible creation. Perfecting the visible creation. When we work, the reason we work, God's purpose for our work, whatever my intention is, God's intention for my work is that we might be participating with him in perfecting creation.
Yeah.
That's a pretty, you talk about the dignity of human work. I don't know how much more dignified you
can
get.
That's way bigger than I think we give work credit
Absolutely.
For.
Absolutely. It's not just paying the bills. It's not just, maybe certainly in my case, I love my job, right? Frankly, I have to be better sometimes about the whole work, not work balance because I love what I do.
Right.
But it's more than even me having personal satisfaction. Mm-hmm. It's about us working with God to perfect his visible creation.
Right. And I can't remember if it was in the Catechism or if I read it in Pope St. John Paul II's encyclical. Can you give me... On human work, yes. Let's not worry about
the Latin title. Laborum exertions.
Okay, thank you.
Laborum exertions.
Thank you.
On human work.
I didn't even know that existed.
Yeah.
And I read through some of it and I was... It's fascinating.
Yeah.
It really changes how you look at your work.
So John Paul II wrote you mentioned it's an encyclical letter. So it's not just a little, workers of the world.
Right.
Here's a nice little,
it wasn't a little speech.
It's exactly. Well said. This was written in 1981. Mm-hmm. And it's a high level teaching document on the value and dignity of human work. So I think we when you consider the historical context of this document, its importance becomes even clearer. So 1981, in terms of world history, Renee, what was going on in 1981? Like just generally that time of
there
history.
Was a lot of tension between us and the Soviet
right.
Union.
Soviet Union and their form of government was
communism.
And what is What was communism supposedly
world
about?
World of the worker.
Workers of the world unite,
unite,
right?
I said that wrong.
Right. So May Day, May 1st for us, it's about flowers or whatever, but that's like Workers' Day or whatever. That's when, some of our listeners will remember that there used to be TV footage, news footage of, especially in the Soviet Union, Moscow, the soldiers marching by in tanks
and the
so
big
on
squares,
on May 1st. But that was all for them, the purpose of that, whatever the original intent was. To highlight the worker and the value of the worker and the class struggle and so on. John Paul II, one of his first encyclicals was on the value, the dignity of human work. But he wanted to show how it's even more than what communism, what Marxism says. It has a God-given purpose to perfect creation.
Right. And what I found interesting is it talks about not that you are a cog in the wheel, but that our work is to subdue the earth with and for each other.
Right.
Which I found, I was like, okay, well, that kind of changes everything as far as what you're doing.
Right.
You're doing it for each other.
Right, right.
With each other and with God.
And that's paraphrased or referred to another paragraph in the Catechism. So if you want to look it up, 2427, the Catechism says that's almost exactly what you just read. Mm-hmm. Human work proceeds directly from persons created in the image of God and called to prolong the work of creation by subduing the earth both with and for one another.
Right.
As you said, our work is for one another. We're subduing the earth with each other and for one another.
Right.
In other words, not just for me.
Not just to make money.
Right, exactly. Yeah. But for you and for all of our neighbors, my work is not just mine, it's for us.
Right.
And that's sort of that Catholic thing where maybe a little bit of a challenge at what's a pretty common mentality, at least in our country, of sort of that rugged individualism. Mm-hmm. There's truth to that. It's the individual person that has value, certainly. And yet we are not created as isolated beings. We're created in community, in relationship with and for others. And so our work also is with and for one another.
Right. And I think it also goes to the... Regardless of what kind of work you're doing, you should try to enjoy your work. For instance, a lot of times people will be like, well, I would hate to be a janitor or something like that. I don't want to clean toilets. But some people who are in that type of work really are joyful about their work because they maybe understand this idea that they're doing that for someone so they can do their work better and they can live their lives better.
Right. So, that goes back. So to connect a couple of key points we're making so far, it's for one another and to cooperate with God in perfecting his creation. So we're doing it with and for each other, and we're doing it with God. So there's sort of, if you think of the arms of the cross, there's a horizontal dimension with each other, for each other, but also a vertical dimension where we're doing this also, we are doing this with him to perfect his creation with him.
I had not thought of that before. I like that image.
And now actually.
Something else came to you.
So the image of the cross, this is also from 24:27 the Catechism. By enduring the hardship of work. So I think especially those who work in manual labor, like the work that you and I have, it's sort of, there's a mental effort given, which I certainly wouldn't minimize the hard work that.
But I do sit down quite
a bit. Exactly. Exactly. So as opposed to, I think we can very clearly see for those who, you know, quote unquote, blue collar workers who work with their hands, manual labor. So the janitor that you think of, that you mentioned, by enduring the hardship of work in union with Jesus, the carpenter of Nazareth and the one crucified in Calvary, man collaborates in a certain fashion with the Son of God in his redemptive work. So again, by enduring the hardship of work in union with Jesus, carpenter of Nazareth, one crucified in Calvary, we collaborate in a certain fashion with him in his redemptive work. So when work is hard, whether it's physical, it's easy to see, but whether it's mental or emotional, sometimes work is hard emotionally. By enduring that hardship, we are collaborating with Jesus in his redemptive work. Right. So you and I have talked before, I think, about offering it up and that phrase offering it up. And that's what, you know, we can think of that especially with suffering, our own suffering because of sickness or disease or a close friend's sickness or disease and so on. But that also includes the hardship of our work.
Yeah. I hadn't thought about that.
We can, so again, the cross, we can offer up the difficulty of having to work with each other, in our case, deep hardship.
It is really difficult.
Lord, just take all this suffering and working with Chris. And it becomes redemptive.
Right.
So even that, I mean, we're kidding there, but I mean, you know, sometimes we certainly, many of us, not here, many people have maybe difficult coworkers.
Right, yep.
Somebody there's emotion, like it's hard that way. Maybe a difficult boss, maybe somebody who works for you is difficult to work with. You can offer that suffering, your own hardship up and join it to Christ's, and in so doing, you're participating in his redemptive work.
Right.
Redemptive. So his work of saving the world. So just, again, you can offer up your own hardships that way as well.
Yeah. Even if there's a little part of your job you don't like.
Exactly.
Which I think everybody has a little part where you're like, oh, I don't want to do this part.
Right.
So
right.
Yeah, offer that up.
Amen.
I love that. That's great. So let's see. The one thing I too wanted to talk about was, of course, Jesus came to earth as God, as human.
Right.
So him working, sweating, toiling, probably bleeding. You know, he's a carpenter. He probably smashed his thumb with
that. That's a good question. Now, Jesus is perfect. So could he?
But he was human. So.
But he's a perfect human.
Yeah.
Without sin. So could he really have smashed
his blood? I don't know. He certainly experienced pain, didn't he?
When somebody did it to him.
Well, we know he bled.
When somebody did it to him.
Well, the hammer did it.
Yeah, but he swung the hammer.
I guess it would depend on if he chose to be God in that moment and let that not do anything, or be human in that moment.
No, I'm saying, okay, we're getting way too far afield here, but can Jesus make a mistake with his, as he's pounding a nail in? Could he make a mistake?
Well,
he's perfect.
But he's human too. I know he's a perfect human, but maybe he just
Adam and,
chooses.
Do you think Adam and Eve?
We're getting too far off.
You started us down the rabbit hole. Not my fault.
Sorry.
So Jesus worked with his hands.
Yes. My point was that God kind of, this probably isn't the right word, so you'll have to correct me and give me the right word, but almost divinized work.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So he, yes. So he again elevated it because again, he was a blue collar worker. Mm-hmm. He was a carpenter. He worked with his hands to build things. He wasn't a teacher. Like I am, he wasn't a writer.
Right.
Like the only writing Jesus did was
in the sand. That's the only one we know of.
Yeah, right. That's true. The only we know of. You're right. He worked with his hands, and in so doing, he sanctified work in a way that had never could never have been done, because he uniquely is the God man.
Right.
So God descends, the Son of God descends to earth, so to speak, takes on human nature, and he works with his hands. And therefore, he's showing us this is a good, he's reminding us again, this was part of my original plan for you, to till the garden and to keep it, to work the garden, to build up, to perfect my creation. Mm-hmm. You forgot maybe that was part of my original plan because of original sin, and now it's hard and there's hardship in your work. Mm-hmm. But I'm here to remind you that this is part of my original plan for you, and even in the hardship because of sin, that itself can still bear good fruit when you offer it up with my suffering.
Right, right. And he even himself referred to his work as Jesus, as God in here. His work for the Father. He referred to that as work all the time. His teaching, his preaching, all of that.
I'm here to do the will, the work of my Father. Mm-hmm. This is along these lines. So this is also 2427 in the Catechism. He, Jesus, shows himself to be you and I, when we collaborate with Jesus, we show ourselves to be a disciple of Christ by carrying the cross daily in the work that we are called to accomplish.
Okay.
So This is kind of, to me, a really important point here. So this is one of the ways in which our faith and the rest of our lives are enmeshed. Mm-hmm. They're supposed to be integrated together. So when I do my work on a daily basis, and some people, you work for the church.
You work for the church.
Right. But every one of us, when we do our work on a daily basis, we are participating in Jesus' call to carry the cross.
Okay.
And then it goes on, work can be a means of sanctification and a way of animating earthly realities with the Spirit of Christ. Again, work can be a means of sanctification and a way of animating earthly realities with the Spirit of Christ. So through my work, I can become holier. Not just because of the people I work with, but maybe.
Obviously.
But the Lord has invited me to follow him, and part of following him means doing the work that he asks me to do, literally, not just the work in terms of prayers and grim and faith, but literally the work that he asks me to do. Right. Nothing happens by accident. Sometimes mistakes are made or whatever, but still, every one of us, no matter what your job is, right now, God is inviting you in your work to be sanctified by your work. And the second thing, a way of animating earthly realities with the Spirit of Christ. So we're supposed to really bring the Spirit of Christ who dwells within us, bring that into our work.
Right.
Sanctify what you're doing from within, if you will. And again, that's not just, it's easy to see for people who work for the church.
Right.
Everybody.
Right.
Grocery store checkout clerk, stay-at-home mom, banker, farmer, rancher, whatever, teacher, whatever your profession is, you can bring the Spirit of Christ, even if you never say the word Spirit of Christ.
I was going to say, at the grocery store, you're probably not going to
exactly
be talking about,
yeah, did you find
Jesus?
Anything?
Yeah. How did you talk to Jesus today?
Exactly. But you can still animate what you're doing with that Spirit of Christ. And it can be a sanctification for you, but for those around you too.
Yeah. And you can work joyfully in your job. And let's say you are a cashier at a grocery store. Well, you know, some people don't like to be talked to at the when you're being checked out of the grocery store line. But, you know, to be open and be joyful and, you know, smile. We talked about that a couple weeks ago.
Yep.
That was on a different show, actually.
That's right, it was.
You'll see that sometime in the future.
Several weeks down the road.
We talk so much, I forget what we're talking about or when. But, you know, even just smiling at people and being a happy person, to let that, your faith show through, you don't necessarily have to say those, hey, I'm Catholic and what are you? And
So I think that maybe to draw that point out even further, maybe the nature of your job, maybe you're working from home right now in your apartment. And it's just you.
Right.
But you can still sanctify, you can still bring that spirit of Christ within you to animate what you're doing. Even if, you know, maybe you're kind of, you work on your own, your boss trusts you and...
Or you own your own business.
Exactly.
Yep.
And the nature of business, you don't interact with people on a regular basis. You can still bring that, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ to bear and allow him sort of, I think the image that I'm thinking of is how little sparks can sort of pop up and then you fan them into a fire. So be the little spark where you're allowing the Holy Spirit to set this part of God's creation aflame with love for him and one another.
Yeah, I love that. Just looking to see if there's anything else from my notes. Cause I printed out a couple paragraphs from John Paul's, On Human Work, some that were really interesting and maybe we don't have time to go through them now that I see the clock.
We're running out of time, Renee.
We are. Okay. Well, so for just to wrap up, I think that really on Labor Day, any day of the year for your job, just know that your work is blessed by God. I mean,
And I go beyond that.
Yeah.
I'd say, no, I think that's true, but also know that he is present to you in your work. Mm-hmm. Maybe you don't love your job. Maybe you're a people person who finds themselves in a data entry position, not talking to anybody, right? Or vice versa. Maybe you're a strong introvert and you find yourself as a grocery store checkout clerk where you're seeing people all the time. Yeah. Christ is present in every circumstance that we face. Christ is present in every face that we encounter. So in your work, recognize that he is there and know that you can, everything we've been saying, participate in perfecting his creation with each other and for the good of one another.
Yeah, I love that. That if you get a chance, you can probably find it online. You can just look up On Human Work.
John Paul II.
I think if you Google that, you get that.
Yep.
It's a really great read. I didn't read the whole thing, but I got a lot out of what I did read. So check it out. Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for being here today, Chris.
You bet, Renee.
It was great.
Thanks.
All right. Next week, my guest will be Chris Motes.
There you go.
To talk about socialism and whether or not a Catholic can be a socialist. It seems like a really good discussion for right now, getting close to elections and just for what's going on in our world right now. Also be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and on YouTube at SF Diocese. And you can keep up with what's happening in the diocese, or you can always visit our website at sfcatholic.org. That's it for us today. Hope you'll join us again next week for more Catholic Views.